أما بعد، this is our 12th majlis, our 12th session, and today is the 19th of Ramadan, Hijra, the 1446 of Hijra, and responding to the 19th of March, 2025. We will continue our term from where we stopped at verse 22. 12 session now. But we go through some of the questions. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I'm interested in understanding the Islamic perspective on online payment gateways. Could you please explain the general principles that govern financial transactions in Islam? How does the concept of riba apply to online payment processing? Well, there are two things here: online payment gateway and online payment process. The payment gateway is taking the record. Transactions, either online or in person. When you go and present your card, the process, the gateway is what processes your information. To ascertain your name and your account, and also the authorization. Earlier it used to be you have to make a signature. Then they will look at you. But now they come with a PIN that is not only to you. With the PIN, they process your information. Then the payment process is what happens between the gateway and the bank of the merchant, the transfer. So they effect the transfer from your account to the bank, from your bank to the bank of the merchant. So it basically is a kind of middleman, a kind of a facilitator. He facilitates the transaction. Instead of going to go and withdraw cash from your bank and then go and deposit the cash in the account of the merchant, the gateway will do all that for you. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't see anything prohibited in the Sharia, because this is a service, and charging a fee for a service is permissible. It's permissible for you to charge a fee for a service which you do. It's a kind of ijara. Also, the process is the payment process between the bank, between your bank and the customer, and the bank of the merchant. This payment settlement, these are all making things easy. Now it has reached to the extent that in some merchants, in some places, you don't even have to give them your card. You just use your phone and scan. Then there will be a QR code, and it will read and it will deduct, and everything is settled. So it's a payment and settlement system. The fee that is charged is a service fee. So the riba, the application, I don't see how riba will apply either in the gateway or in the process. And the general rules of financial transactions is that every transaction is permissible except if it is made impermissible. And the things that are impermissible in financial transactions are riba, excessive speculation, al-gharar, dealing in prohibited items, gambling, and games of chance, and immoral behaviors of cheating, concealment of the reality of what you are selling. These aspects that enter in, false declaration of price or price fixing, these are the things that are prohibited in Islamic financial transactions in general. And then this one said, I had an issue with my wife that led to my parents forcing me to divorce her, otherwise they will disown me. We have two children and she's pregnant now for 7 months. We've not been together for 3 months now. Recently I entered my mother's house and she was listening to a tafsir where the Malian is saying forced divorce is not valid and it is not good for parents to force their children to divorce. Since then I got determined to fix my marriage. My question is, what is the Islamic ruling in my situation, sir? Yes, it is true, it's not part of the right of a parent to force his child to divorce his wife. Except, of course, if continuing the marriage will harm the person in his religion or in his life or profit. In which case, they don't have to force him also. It is part of their duty of Amru bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar to instruct him, to tell him. If he refuses, it is not, if he does divorce, then the divorce is valid. The divorce is valid because it is not regarded as a compulsion. A compulsion is when you are compelled at the point of death or physical harm to your body. But because you have the power in this case to disobey your parent, it is not regarded as a compulsion. So when they compel you to divorce your wife and you divorce her, the divorce is valid. But now in his situation, let him do all he can to get others to intervene between him and his parents so that they will accept for the benefit of the children. You know, when divorce occurs, the children, they are made like orphans because they end up living in a single parent family, and that brings a lot of social problems and also psychological problems for the children. Therefore, it should be avoided as much as possible. And if they insist, then there is no harm for him to disobey them. Because Imam Ahmad was asked regarding someone whose father instructed him and forced him to divorce his wife. Should he obey the father? So Imam Ahmad said, if your father is like Umar ibn al-Khattab, then obey him. Because Umar ibn al-Khattab, for one, he will not instruct him to do to do what is inappropriate. So if your father is in such a position of knowledge and uprightness in religion, then you should agree. Otherwise, Imam Ahmad is saying, what this shows is that he's saying that you are not compelled, you are not bound to obey. But then, since even though you are not bound to obey the parent, you are also not asked. That does not mean that you can flagrantly rebel against them already. But follow all agents to pacify them, to let them see your point, and get others to to mediate between you and the parents so that they will see reason. And we throw their command. Allahu A'lam. So let's continue. We are on verse 22. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Who has made the earth for you, who has spread the earth for you. Al-firash is what is spread as a couch. He said, this is a tamthil, this is a likeness. This is a likeness for their sitting and sleeping on the earth. So it is actually metaphorical. The same also with the sky, that the sky as a building. You made the sky built for you. So the sky is like a building, a cover, that is built that is built to cover it. And he said, and min al-thamarat, where it says that he produced and he brought forth therewith fruits for your sustenance, meaning the tabi'ir. This is part of what all the bayan is doing. It is a part of what is produced by the rainfall, or to explain the category, the class of what is produced by the earth as a result of the rainfall. لأن الثمرات هو المأكول من الفواكه وغيرها. Because the meaning of الثمرات, fruits, is what is eating from what is eaten from fruits and other than fruits of what the earth produces. فأخرج به الباء للسببية. That is, it is on account of the rain that Allah brings forth fruits for you. So كَقَوْلِكَ كَتَبْتِ بِالْقَلَمِ, that is, I'm writing with the pen. So Allah, he brings forth with the rain. لِأَنَّ الْمَاء سَبَبٌ فِي خُرُوجِ الثَّمَرَاتِ بِقُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because water, rainfall, is the means by which the fruits are brought forth by the power of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is part of the way Allah has arranged the natural arrangement of the creation of Allah. And when فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لَا نَاهِيَا أَوْ نَافِيَا. So the meaning of لَا تَجْعَلُوا, it is either a prohibition or a negation. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا, so do not, this is a prohibition. أَوْ نَافِيَا, لَا تَجْعَلُوا, that is, you are not to set rivals against for Allah.
You shouldn't,
that is nahiya. But nafi is negation. So how do you how do you interpret لا تجعلوا لله أندادا, when you regard لا as نافية, because لا النافية is to negate, like to say لا رجل في الدار, there is no man in the house, لا رجل في الدار. So this is is supposed to be a nominal a noun clause, a nominal sentence. But when you say فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا and you take the na as a prohibition, that is a verb clause. Do not set a rival for Allah. But then today, to regard la as a negation, how do you translate it into English? Even in Arabic, لَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَنْدَادَ.
If you say do not, that's a direct comment. And that is la nahiya. If you say you shouldn't, it is like there is
if you say you shouldn't, it means that it's not imperative, it is recommended. But that is not what is meant here. I think what is meant, yes, when it says La is nafia, so it is saying la tajalu, rivals are not set against for Allah. You are saying rivals are not because when it says fala tajalu lillahi andada, that is then set not up rivals. This is the prohibition. Do not set up rivals. Unto God, unto Allah. That is the annahi. You are prohibited to set up rivals. But when you say, when you take the meaning to be a nephew, negation, it's you are saying rivals are not set up unto God. And normally a nominal sentence is stronger than a verb clause, a nominal clause, because when you negate, it means that you have already, it is a prohibition which you have already taken upon yourself to execute, to the extent that you are, it is described as non-existent. So it is as though you are prohibited from setting up rivals, and you take upon you that prohibition, therefore rivals are not set for you. This is stronger and this is more emphatic in terms of prohibition. Prohibition normally comes either with the verbal clause, with a verb like this one, palatet ali, do not set up rivals. Or they come with jumla ismiya, that is a noun clause. Like Allah, the same with command also. Allah says, وَالْوَالِدَاتِ يُرْضِعْنَا أَوْلَادَهُمْ. The mothers, they are to suckle their children. Now this is an instruction, but it came in the form of a statement, a verbal clause. That is, it's as though they have been instructed to do, and they have already done, and now their act is being described. This is more emphatic and stronger than to say the mothers are to suckle their children. وانتصب الفعل بإضمار أن بعد الفاء في جواب اعبدوا والأول أظهر. That is when it says وأنتم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون والحال أنكم تعلمون. That is the verb that came وأنتم تعلمون. It is sorry, فلا تجعلوا there is أن بعد الفاء. فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. When you do نفي, that is when you say rivals are not set for Allah, while are not set up for Allah by you knowingly. So it is as though he's saying that based on this, do not set up rivals for Allah. That is based on your knowledge. Andada, the meaning of andad, this is the plural of me. That is a rival. What is meant huna? What is meant here is a shuraka, that is partners in worship. Al-ma'buduna ma'allahi jalla wa'ala. Partners that are worshipped together with Allah. So it's describing polytheism, a shirk. That is, and the polytheism could be in any of the exclusive rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It could be in his in what is ascribed and attributed to him alone, that is shirkul ubudiyyah. When you say that, when you believe that other than Allah can give power, or other than Allah can give you luck, or other than Allah can give life and take away life, and can give iman and take away iman. That is shirk in al-rububiyyah, in what is the exclusive attribute of Allah. What only Allah can do, do not ascribe it to other than Allah. When you do that, that is shirk in al-rububiyyah, the what is attributed to Allah, the acts of Allah. And then shirk in al-uluhiyyah, That is ascribing partners to Allah in what is exclusively the right of Allah. In what you as slaves of Allah do, you are asked to do for Allah, don't do it for other than Allah. You are asked to pray to Allah alone, don't pray to other than Allah. You are asked to seek help from Allah alone, don't seek help from other than Allah. Seeking help, it means that while you do not, seeking help of someone you do not see. Like people will do to go to the jinn and seek help by doing certain practices of by doing certain acts that the jinn are asking them to do, either sacrifice or doing some acts like going around a tree, doing tawaf around a tree or the tomb of ascending man. These are things that you do, whatever you are to do for Allah, if you do it for Allah and for other than Allah, then that is shirk fil uluhiyya. That is shirk in the godhood of Allah, in the right of Allah to be worshipped alone. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ while you knowingly حُذِفَ مَفْعُولَهُ حُذِفَ مَفْعُولُهُ مُبَالَغَةً. That is, while you know. What do you know? It has not been mentioned. The object of what you know. مُبَالَغَةً for emphasis. وَبَلَاغَ and also out of eloquence. أَيُوْ أَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَحْدَانِيَّتَهُ بِمَا ذُكِرَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْبَرَاهِيمِ. That is, do not take up rival for Allah while you know His unity based from what has been mentioned for you of proof that Allah alone is the one, is the creator and the one who makes the earth, who spread the earth for you and the other things that we are mentioning together. وفي ذلك بيان لقبح كفرهم بعد معرفتهم بالحق. And in this, in the telling of Allah wa antum ta'lamun, this is an explanation, that is a declaration of the evil and the ugliness of their disbelief in Allah after their knowledge of the truth. Because that is more serious. To disbelieve after knowledge, that is more serious. Because it's not out of ignorance, but it is out of strong-headedness, of obstinacy. ويتعلق قوله بلا تجعلوا بما تقدم من البراهين. And when what is said, فلا تجعلوا, this is based, that is based on what was mentioned of proofs, that is the creation of the earth, the creation of the heaven, and the bringing down of the sending down of rainfall. Based on that, do not set up rivals to Allah, because no being does that except Allah. وَيَحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّقْ بِقَوْلِهِ أَعْبُدُونِ. Or it may mean that you worship Allah, therefore do not set up rivals. وَالْأَوَّلُ أَظْهَرْ. But the first one is clearer. فَوَائِدُ كَلَامٍ. There are three important points here. الأولى هذه الآية ضمنت دعوة الخلق إلى عبادة الله بطريقين. This verse is contains calling people, calling creation, the creation of Allah, to worship Allah based on from two ways. There are two ways through which this da'wah was directed at people. أحدها إقامة البراهين بخلقهم. The first one is mentioning proofs for their being created beings. أعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. Your Lord that created you. وخلقة السماوات والأرض والمطر والثمرات. And the creation of the heavens and the earth and also the rainfall and what is produced as a result of the rainfall from the earth. So this is one way through which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala called creation to worship Allah. Because if you reflect upon this, the fact that you are a created being, and the fact that Allah is the creator, it shows that you should worship Him. You should worship your creator. You are to worship your creator. Not you should, you are to. Because He deserves to be worshipped. And there is no other being that creates except Him. The other way through which this is presented is Mulafasa Jamila, a subtle care by Allah, بِذِكْرِ مَا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْحُقُقِ, by mentioning the rights that Allah has over them, the rights that Allah has over them, وَمِنَ الْإِنْعَامِ, and also the favors that Allah has given to them. فَذَكَرَ أَوَّلًا رُبُوبِيَّتَهُ لَهُمْ, so the first is that Allah mentioned His lordship over them, because الرُّبُوبِيَّة, lordship, it indicates care and concern, care and concern, because Ar-Rabb is the one who created and then who also took care of His creation. So that is mulafafa, that is subtleness, that is gentleness. In a gentle way, Allah is calling the creation to worship Him. So if Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, is gentle with us, who are you to be forceful with people? Because Allah Himself is gentle with us. أَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship your Lord. Worship who? Your Lord. This your Lord, who by His lordship over you, He not only created you, but He also took care of you. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ خِلْقَتَهُ لَهُمْ وَآذَاءَهُمْ, then He mentioned خَلْقَهُ لَهُمْ, that is His creating them and His creating their forefathers. لأن الخالق يستحق أن يعبد, because the creator, He has the right to be worshipped. The creator has he lays claim to the right to be worshipped. ثم ذكر ما أنعم الله به عليه, then he, Allah mentioned the favors that He gave to them. من جعل الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء, that He said He made, He spread the earth and He built the sky over them. ومن إنزال المطر, and He brings down the rainfall. وإخراج الثمرات, and He brings out the fruits of the earth, the fruits the produce of the earth from rainfall, the agricultural produce. لأن المنعم يستحق أن يعبد ويشكر, because the one who gives favors, he deserves to be worshipped and to be given gratitude. Because this is embedded in human nature. That is why they have the word ingrate, the one who does not show gratitude. Because showing gratitude and showing thankfulness is firmly embedded in the character and in the nature of human being. In the nature of human being. If somebody is always being good to you and you don't show thankfulness, don't show gratitude to him, everybody will describe such a person and say, oh, who will deal with that? He's an ingrate. So by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reminding us of His favors, He is making us to realize that He deserves to be shown gratitude and thankfulness, to be shown thankfulness and gratitude.
Sheikh,
Naam.
Word Rabb,
Naam.
Can apply on lesser beings,
Naam.
To a limited extent. That it?
Yes. But whenever it is applied to any being, it has that connotation of caring, because it is from there that the word at-tarbiyah is derived. Rabbaytuhu tarbiyatan, that is, I trained him with a good training, because training shows taking care, looking after the interest of somebody. So that is why you have رب الدار رب البيت وربة الدار because she takes care of the household and the man also he takes care of his household but when you say الرب the Lord in the definite article then you are referring to Allah alone you are referring to Allah alone but it is possible for you to use the word in a relation to another like you say رب الدار رب الدابة رب الدكان the owner of the owner of the shop the owner of the mount رب السيارة and all that but to say الرب مطلق without any restriction that applies only to Allah تبارك وتعالى وانظر قوله جعل لكم reflect on his statement جعل لكم الذي جعل لكم that is he spreads he sets he establishes for you that is he spreads the earth for you ورفقا لكم sustenance for you يدلك على ذلك this will point you that there is this is a favor of Allah He's made the earth spread out for you. It's not undulating in such a way that you will not be able to be firm on it. But He made it spread so that you can build upon it. You can walk on it. You can walk without fearing that it will be tumbling with you. Imagine what happens to the world when there is earthquake. Imagine that the earth is like that. It is always trembling and nothing is firm. Sometimes when we are in Medina, there was an earthquake in Egypt, I think in the 1990s, in Cairo. And the tremors were felt in Medina. The tremors were felt in Medina. But you never notice. Nobody noticed. Except when we heard from the hospital. The grip that was hanging from the tripod, it was shocking. Nobody felt anything. But they realized that there was a tremor from earthquake because the grip was shaking. Who can do that? It is an enclosed place. It's not the wind that is blowing. The wind if it blows, it will not move the drink, the bottle. But the bottle was shaking because of the tremors of the earthquake. Now imagine if the earth is like that. So that's why he said, Ja'ala lakum. He spread the earth for you. That is, he was taking care of your needs. And also when he said, Rizqan lakum, sustenance for you. That is what will sustain you. He brings forth from the earth various types of fruits and foods for you. Foods that you will eat to build your body, to grow up. Foods that you will eat to enjoy it, have pleasure. You don't need them for growing, but you just need them to just feel happy and enjoy. Because there are things that you just take for enjoyment. And then also there are also those that you take that will cure your body, like honey. So all this he did lakum for you. So this is an expression bringing our attention to the favor that Allah has done for our sake. On account of that, he deserves to be thanked. He deserves to be worshipped. Which is the essence. So this is the way the da'wah was made. Which means when you are making da'wah, you tell people the love that Allah has for them and the care that Allah is showing for them so that you will point or you will prick that tendency that they have in their nature to be thankful. Because human beings by nature they are thankful beings. You know, they are not like Shaitan. Shaitan by nature is an ingrate. By nature, Shaitan is not thankful. But human beings by nature are thankful. When they are not thankful, it is from the influence of Shaitan on them. يدلك على ذلك نعم لتخصيصه ذلك بهم في ملاطفة وخضاب بديع. Because Allah, when He mentioned that, He has specified these favors for their for them in a subtle and gentle way, with gentleness. Allah did not mention this in a condescending manner. I am the one who He is the one who did this for you. Who did this for you? Will you not give thanks? Well, who are you? After I have done this and this and that and that, you know, even a human being, when he does something good, and he mentions the good that he has done in order to show to you that you are nothing and you have done everything, that is actually destroying that goodness. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Do not destroy your charity. بالمن. المن, that is, you do something and you. What is the word that they use in English?
Bragging.
Not bragging. المن, that is to show a person that you have done this and that for him. Let's see how. He translated it. Yes, Ali, he says, remind us of your generosity.
Good.
Remind us, you remind somebody of his generosity. But in a way,
it's not me that did something.
Yeah, exactly. In a condescending manner. Let's see how Abdul Halim translated it. He says, do not cancel out your charitable deeds with reminders and not hurtful words. I don't think it is. I don't know whether the English may not have such a word to describe it. I mean, it is like this thing. Some words, you know, when you consider how it is in Arabic, you find that when it is mentioned like in Hausa. You know, in Hausa, when that is mentioned, Alman, which is Gori, you know, what it shows, so it's not just to remind you, but to do it in a way as to make you feel worthless. That were it not for me, how will you get even the food to eat? Were it not for me, how will you even go to school? Were it not for me paying your school fees, how will you? That is unknown. It's not just reminding somebody of your gracious deeds to him. It is a kind of a condescending manner. Let's see the way this person describes it. Naam? No. Yeah, the old saying, do not waste your charity with reminders of your generosity. I find it
it doesn't explain
the real meaning. Yes. So Allah did not remind us of His generosity, did not do money to us in a condescending manner, no, but in a way to bring our attention. الثانية, the second important point is المقصود الأعظم من هذه الآية. the most important purpose, objective of this verse, Al-Amru bi Tawheedillah. It is the command to declare the unity of Allah. وترك ما عبد من دونه, and casting away what was mentioned beside him. لقوله في آخرها, because of what he said in the end of the verse, فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا. وذلك هو الذي يترجم عنه بقولنا لا إله إلا الله. This is what is translated when we say لا إله إلا الله. فيقتضي ذلك الأمر بالدخول في دين الإسلام الذي قائدته التوحيد. So that constitutes in itself the command to enter the religion of Islam. So it's as when Allah says, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم. It's as though Allah is saying, all you people, enter the religion of Islam. Because the foundation of Islam is at Tawheed, unity of God. وَقَوْلِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and the declaration لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You have your Arabic text, let me see, because there is something here that I feel it is not. تكرر في القرآن ذكر المخلوقات. Your Excellency, I will have to. He said, "Takunu is takarrara." Allah, circulate this copy, this e-copy for us, inshallah.
It's in the group.
It's been said in the group.
Oh, it's already in the group.
Yes.
Al-Halq al-Ilmiya.
Yes.
تكرر في القرآن ذكر المخلوقات. In the Quran, there is continuous repetition of the created things, what Allah has created. والتنبيه على الاعتبار في الأرض والسماوات والحيوان والنبات والرياح والأنفار والشمس والقمر والليل والنهار. And it is also mentioned over and over again in the Quran. Bringing attention to reflect and ponder over the earth, the heavens, the animals, the plants, winds, rainfall, the sun, the moon, day and night. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّا تَدُلُّ بِالْأَقْلِ عَلَىٰ أَشْرَةُ أُمُورٍ. Because these creations of Allah, they point to 10 things. 10 things. الأول وهي, these 10 things are أن الله موجود, that God exists. The evidence of the existence of God is the existence of this creation, because they just cannot come out of nothing. لأن الصنع دليل على الصانع لا محالة. Because a manufacturer shows the manufacturer. An act shows an actor. وبعد فعل فاعل فإن ظهر فهو وإلا فضمير نفسه. This is an example in Arabic grammar. This is a poem in Arabic grammar. It's mentioning a qaida, but it has tawheed in it. He says, with every act, there is the actor. فإن ظهر, if he is manifest, then he is the actor. وإلا فضمير نفسه. Otherwise, then there is a pronoun that is hidden. So whenever, if in every creation of Allah, there is a manifestation of the Creator. If it is apparent and clearly outwardly manifested, then that is what is needed. Otherwise, he is hidden, and the earth points to him. So this is the first of 10 things that reflection and pondering over the created being points to the existence of Allah. That is the evidence, the proof for the existence of Allah is the existence of creation, because creation shows that there is a creator. Secondly, وَأَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ, that he is alone, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, no associate for him, with him. لِأَنَّهُ لَا خَالِقَ إِلَّا هُوَ, because there is no creator except him. أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ, is the one who creates the same with the one who does not create. Number three, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, وَأَنَّهُ حَيٌّ, that he is alive. He has life, he is living. قَدِيمٌ, he doesn't have a beginning. عَالِمٌ, he is full of knowledge. مُرِيد, he is also with a will. With a will. لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ مِنْ شُرُوطِ الثَّانِيَةِ, because these four attributes are the attributes of the one who does. إِذْ لَا تَصْدُرُ صَنْعَةٌ أَمَّنْ عَدِمَ صِفَةً مِنْهَا, because no act will come from the one who does not have any of these. Let's take them one by one. Means life. Someone who is dead, how can he manufacture? How can he do? Life is essential for the one who creates. Secondly, that he doesn't have a beginning. Because if he has a beginning, it means then that he must have been brought into existence by other than him. And then it will continue to do tafasul. The same one who brought him into existence, if he has a beginning, he must have been brought into existence by another one. And then that is what is tafasul. This tafasul, this is what is regarded as an impossibility in logic. Rational thought shows that it is impossible. So he must have no beginning. Secondly, he must have knowledge. He must have knowledge. Because it is by knowledge that you will create, that the creation, how the created beings have their qualities. That is what we are studying, Ko. In medicine, you are studying the circulatory system, you are studying the anatomy of the human being, the physiology of the human being, how his limbs work together. In physics, you are studying gravity, you are studying electromagnetism. You are all studying what the Creator has done. And then yet you will say he doesn't know. And you are taking it to be a field of knowledge. Somebody is specializing in the retina of the eye. All his life, all his research and writing is on the retina only of the eye. And the eye is only one organ. And out of the eye there are so many organs. Only knowledge can bring something like that. That's why it's, whenever this is mentioned regarding creation, al-ilm and hikmah. And number four, he must have a will. That this is how he will do it. Because when there are infinite ways of doing a thing, and then it is done in a single way, it shows that there is a will. This is how I want to do it. Isn't it? When you have the opportunity to marry different women and you choose a specific one to marry her, isn't that a will? You're not forced. It shows that you have a will. If Allah had willed, He would have made our eyes like the eyes of a cat to be the way they are. You know the way the eyes of a cat are. And you would have made our ears like the ears of a dog. Don't you see the cartoonists and the people of science fiction when they make their own Exactly. Yes. But he restricted us. He compelled us to be the way we are. That shows a will. This is why the scholars of Tawheed, they say that the choice of a specific item out of a multitude of items is a proof of al-irada, is a proof of the will of man. Because if Allah وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ يَخْلُفُونَ, if we had willed, we would have made angels on earth. There will be giving birth and replacing one after the other, just like human beings. But Allah did not choose that to be. Now that shows that there is control, because if it is spontaneous, if it is by spontaneity, it will continue. You will have no, there will be no control. If it is what Allah brings forth is by chance, it will be spontaneous. That's why when this man Einstein with Niels Bohr, the two famous physicists of the theory of relativity and quantum physics, they were arguing among themselves. Einstein said to him, God does not play dice. God does not play dice. You know the dice, huh?
Yeah. There was a book written that...
This is a famous word of Einstein, Niels Bohr. Which means that he is saying to him, God has a will.
No probability.
Because he does not... Huh?
Probability, there's no...
Probability. There is no probability in what Allah does. There is no probability. That's why you don't try Allah. So let me see. Will this thing happen? No. You just ask him. Because everything is by his will. So these are the four things that are essential for a creator, for the creator. What are they?
The high.
Life.
Life.
No beginning.
No beginning.
Eternity.
Knowledge.
And will. So the existence of created beings point to this. Number four, وَأَنَّهُ قَدِيمٌ لِأَنَّهُ صَانِعٌ لِلْمُحْدِثَاتِ. That is, he doesn't have a beginning, because he is the one who created the created beings. فَيَسْتَحِيلُ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِثْلَهَا فِي الْحُدُوثِ. So it is impossible that you'll be like it in having a beginning. So he doesn't have a beginning. وَأَنَّهُ بَاقٍ, and he is eternal. لِأَنَّ مَا ثَبَتَ قِدَمُهُ إِسْتَحَالَ عَدَمُهُ. Because once it is established that he has no beginning, then it is impossible for him to have an end, to be non-existent, because he is before existence itself. وَأَنَّهُ حَكِيمٌ, and he is wise. That is, he put things in their proper place. لِأَنَّ آثَارَ حِكْمَتِهِ ظَاهِرَةٌ فِي إِتْقَانِهِ لِلْمَخْلُوقَاتِ وَتَدْبِيرِهِ لِلْمَلَكُوتِ. Because the traces of his wisdom, they are very manifest, they are very clear in the perfection of his creation, and also in the way that he runs the affairs of the universe. Things are not just clashing. Everything is in perfect order. The motion of the sun, the motion of the moon, everything is in perfect order. That is why you are even able to calculate when there will be an eclipse. That shows wisdom. وَأَنَّهُ رَحِيمٌ, and it also shows that he is merciful. لِأَنَّ فِي كُلِّ مَا خَلَقَ مَنَافِعَ لِبَنِي آدَمَ. Because in all that Allah created, there are benefits for the sons of Adam. Everything. Nothing is without benefit. Nothing is without benefit. Even what you do not see. Look at the atmospheric cover, the way it blocks
the ozone layer,
the way it blocks harmful radiation to come down to us. In everything that is benefit for human beings, that shows mercy. سَخَّرَ لَهُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. He has subjugated to them what is in the heavens and in the earth. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يَأْتِي ذِكْرُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي مَعْرَضِ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ عَلَى وُجُودِهِ تَعَالَى وَعَلَى وَحْدَانِيَتِهِ. The most of what is mentioned in the Quran of the creation of Allah is in bringing evidence and proof for the existence of Allah and for His unity. You know, the verses of the Quran are so many describing the creation of Allah. And it is the purpose in all of them is for you to reflect and realize that God exists and that He is one. the existence of God, some people used to feel that this is a given, because Allah says in many places, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. If you ask them who created them, they will say it's Allah. So they say that this is in the fitrah, it's in the original creation of human beings. But then, the fitrah has been corrupted, like in our age. Now there are people who believe, who claim to have proofs over the non-existence of God. So that is why the Quran is full of setting these proofs. فَإِنْ قِيلَ If it is said, لِمَا قَصَرَ الْخِطَابَ بِقَوْلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ عَلَى الْمُخَاطَبِينَ دُونَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ If you say, why is it that the statement, so that you may fear Allah, it is restricted to the people who are addressed in Ya Ayyuha Nas, not those who have passed before them. مَا أَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ لِلْجَمِيعِ بِالتَّقْوَى While it is a command to all to have taqwa, but it was made specific to the those to whom the address was directed at. So the answer is, أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَقْصُرْهُ عَلَيْهِمْ He did not make it specific to them. وَلَكِنَّهُ غَلَّبَ الْمُخَافَدِينَ عَلَى الْغَائِبِينَ فِي اللَّهِ But he made those who are being addressed to be predominant over those who are no longer there. والمراد الجميع But the meaning is for all. فَإِنْ قِيلَ هَلَّا قَالَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ Why, if you say that, what if he has said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ That is, أُعْبُدُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ So that you will worship. But he said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ He said, "At-taqwa ghayatul ibadah." This is because taqwa, that is fear of Allah, is the peak of worship of Allah, is the goal of worshiping Allah. Wa kamaliha, and its perfection. The perfection of ibadah is in taqwa. Fakana qawluhu la'allakum tattaqun ablagha wa awqa'a fi nufus. So when Allah says, la'allakum tattaqun, so that you may attain taqwa. Mm-hmm. Then that is more emphatic, and that is more that touches the heart more because of the position of taqwa with regard to al-ibadah. So it is as though ibadah is a means, and taqwa is the goal. So ibadah itself, you worship Allah as a means to a taqwa. But in reality, taqwa is also part of ibadah, because it's an act of worship to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And we will stop here. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim wa ala Hamidin Majid. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim wa ala Hamidin Majid. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم اشف علينا من بركاتك ورحمتك وفضلك ورزقك اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وزينه إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولينا في الدنيا والآخرة توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين